We return in our scripture reading to the book of Hebrews. We come to chapter 9, verse 15. We'll read to the end of the chapter. You'll find it on page 1281 in the Pew Bible. Now you remember that the whole purpose of Hebrews is that these Jewish Christians would not be seduced away from Jesus Christ. In so many ways, he's been showing all through the book that Jesus is the only Savior, and everything else in the Old Testament was anticipatory of him, and it's only fulfilled in him. And now he's turning to the death of Jesus, or to the blood of Jesus. The theme of this passage is seen in verse 22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, and as he shows here, it is only Jesus' blood. His blood alone, everything else pointed forward to him. We must be saved by the blood of Christ. He's going to work that out in a number of ways. Now, a couple of interesting things here is the pattern that he shows between the Old Testament sacraments and the saving work of Jesus Christ. And he points out that Moses, you think of Exodus 24, that great worship service inaugurating the Old Covenant, that he took the blood, and we actually read in the Hebrew text that he threw it against the altar, and then he threw the rest on the people. And Hebrews says that was all anticipatory of Jesus. He then provided the real blood, not bulls and goats and heifers, but the blood of the Son of God. And then he ascended into heaven. He actually applied his blood to the true heaven of heavens. Now, what does that mean? It's talking about Jesus presenting his atonement in heaven on our behalf. Now, why would that be necessary? Because heaven is holy and we are not. And so how can a sinner dwell forever in heaven? Because Jesus has applied the merits of his blood there. And of course, the sacrament by which that is applied to us is baptism. The bloodshedding's all over now. He points out it's a once-for-all sacrifice. Jesus isn't continuing to minister the blood, and therefore it is with water that we are cleansed in baptism. Now, interestingly, people say, why do you Presbyterians sprinkle rather than dunk? It's the logic of this passage. It's sprinkling. That's how the covenant blessings were applied in the Old Testament. They are sprinkled. Christ sprinkled. Notice the sprinkling language here. He sprinkled the heavenly tabernacle. The implication is that we are sprinkled in baptism. We accept the mode of immersion as well, but that's why we practice sprinkling. Well, the great point is made in verse 27 at the end, why this is so urgent to every one of us. It is given to man once to die, everyone once to die, and then to face judgment. It's only through the blood of Jesus that you'll be saved. You must believe in Jesus if you're going to be saved. With these things in mind, let's hear the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at Hebrews 9:15. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God has commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.